You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 100.5 FM.
Black Friday is the single largest day of consumer shopping in the United States. The most extreme of consumer frenzies often take place every year at the country's largest retailer, Walmart. In one notorious case, a Walmart employee was trampled to death in 2008. This year, however, was different. Coordinated and historic labor protests and strikes took place on Black Friday at over 1,000 Walmart locations. Alan Maas is the editor of socialistworker.org and has been following the labor struggles at Walmart. Alan joins us by phone from Chicago. Hello, Alan, and welcome to Red Eye.
Hi, how are you doing? Thank you.
Over 1,000 actions across the country, that's an enormous amount. That's an incredible feat. How were those actions received by the American public at large?
I think there was a huge amount of support for it. It really has fired people's imaginations, I think, because, you know, the situation of Walmart workers is really the same as so many others, and it's a scandal in plain sight in the United States. So many people face the problem of trying to make do on these low wages, of being denied benefits, of, you know, facing an employer who treats them in an arrogant way. And so I think that people really, especially people who are more likely to shop at Walmart, were really taken by that. That's what our reporting at SW found, was that there's so many people who were coming to shop at Walmart and joined the picket lines and joined in the chanting and stuff. I think it's it really gives you a sense of that. And I think that the action itself has even gone further than that. I live in Chicago, and here a couple days ago we got word that there was a walkout at a thrift store on the north side of the city, just unprompted. No one knew the people who were involved before, but I think that, you know, the example that's been set by the Walmart workers is something that's really inspiring low-wage workers around the country that, yes, there is something you can do about it. Yes, you can, you can take a stand.
Let's talk a little bit more about Walmart and what it is, what it's like to work there. It's sometimes said that Walmart embodies some of the worst aspects of American corporations. What makes this the case?
I mean, it's absolutely the case that this is a company that makes tremendous amounts of money by cutting costs to the bone. They put huge pressure on their suppliers, and one of the consequences of that is the terrible fire in Bangladesh, a factory that that produces for Walmart. But here in this country, you see the consequences for Walmart workers, where the average wage for a Walmart worker in stores, and they call them the associates, is $8.81 an hour, which when it's factored out to full time, which at Walmart standards is 34 hours a week, is less than $16,000 a year. That is not enough money to live on if you're a if you're a single income household. We're talking about a company that puts severe restrictions on the ability of people to get benefits, and getting worse. They've actually raised the amount of hours that people need that associates need per week in order to qualify for benefits. And then there's just the everyday arrogance and misery that associates talk about facing a company where managers and supervisors are constantly on the lookout for ways to extract more work from them, looking for ways to change people's hours to basically keep them in a situation of vulnerability.
Well, those are the workers. How about the owners? How profitable is Walmart exactly?
Oh, absolutely huge. This is a company which provides. This is used to be a general store. This is now a company that, having moved into food and groceries, now sells 25% of the groceries in the United States at the store level. I mean, it's just an absolute behemoth, a Goliath in the corporate world, and it has you know, that has benefited most of all the family at the top, the family of the founders, which make have a combined wealth. Their combined assets are greater than 42, the lower 42% of the United States population. And that's a staggering statement about inequality in the United States. This is a company that, you know, through the recession, the Great Recession that we've endured for the last year or two, has come out of that and is hitting new records in sales and profits again.
What demands are workers and the supporters making in these strikes? What would they like to see happen?
Well, I think that this is, you know, giving you a sense of where this struggle comes from, is that it's really coming from a labor movement that's been on the retreat for decades in the United States. I'm sure that's not news to anyone in Vancouver, and you've seen something similar in Canada. But there's also, it's really a labor movement that's been on the retreat for a long period of time. And so this initiative actually takes place outside the context of a union organizing drive. What's happened here is with the support, absolutely, of organized labor, but what our Walmart, the organization of workers in the stores, is actually a employee-led, a Walmart worker-led organization, where workers pay $5 a month in dues in order to be part of it. It's grown massively. And really, in order to begin the organizing, in order to take the very first step here, we're not talking about an attempt to try to win union recognition in the first instance. In the first instance, really what these walkouts are about is about local issues, about trying to, you know, get a grievance addressed when it comes to hours being cut or shifted around and stuff like that. One of the reasons why the organization focuses on this rather than the bigger picture of wages and benefits is that this gives them some protection under U.S. labor law to be able to go on a strike even without a union over unfair labor practices. So that's in the first instance what people are talking about. But everyone knows, the company and the workers and the vast support for this in the labor movement as a whole, everyone knows what it means when workers who have been, you know, facing the worst of the worst when it comes to corporate America, are taking a stand, you know, in small numbers in each store. We're only talking about a minority of workers in the particular stores that are affected by this. But it's really the people who are confident and who are saying enough is enough. And, you know, they're taking on local issues, but it's obviously raising the much bigger ones about what it's going to take to change the direction living standards for workers in this country.
Well, you alluded a little bit to the organizing. Unions have spent a long time trying to organize workers at Walmart here in Canada as well, and they have faced fierce retaliation from the company. What has that organizing looked like historically compared to what's happening now?
Well, it's been tough, and I think that in a lot of ways, you've had organized labor again on the retreat has not been sure exactly how to face this behemoth, which has gone to every length to break unions. It was a strike in a store in Florida about 6 years ago. It's the very first strike of associates in a store 6 years ago, and the entire department was cleared out. There was a union organizing for one of the trades in the grocery area of one Walmart in Oklahoma, I think, in which basically that grocery area was shut down. You know, this is the tactics that are faced, and so, you know, it's been a learning experience, I think, for organized labor to try to figure out how to operate here. I think that the first instance here for the store workers is to raise this issue, which they've done magnificently. I think in just a period of a few months, people now know about, you know, this issue, and now know that people are standing up in the stores and taking action. I think the other aspect of this, which in some ways is even more, in the immediate sense, has possibilities is the organizing of warehouse workers. There have been two walkouts that are separate from the store worker walkouts, two walkouts of warehouse workers in Southern California and then here outside Chicago in a place called Elwood. These are, you know, one labor historian, Nelson Lichtenstein, said, you know, these are not really warehouses anymore because Walmart's whole operation is about keeping goods in constant movement. So they're really distribution centers where the workers, a very small number of workers who are paid very badly, face the worst kind of conditions, so many health and safety hazards on the job. But they have an enormous amount of power because there's so few of them handling so many goods. And so that's why the walkout outside of Chicago here is an incredibly exciting thing to see a union-backed operation backed by the UE of workers who went on strike without a union, were on strike for 3 weeks, actually returned to their jobs victorious, having won the reinstatement of fired colleagues, having won a promise from management not to retaliate again, and they won back wages for their entire 3 week walkout. So it gives you a sense of, you know, really, this is uncharted territory, I have to say, as someone who's followed labor in the United States for a couple decades now. This is really uncharted territory, and, you know, you have to go back to the struggles of the 1930s to see this kind of an unorganized sector of the U.S. working class, you know, sort of beginning to take action in the kind of ways we're seeing here.
In Quebec, when workers at a Walmart store organized there, Walmart shut down the store. How is Walmart reacting to these larger movements across the United States?
I think that's one of the things that's so incredibly exciting is that we're used to that. Yeah, that was another example that I meant to bring up, the store in Quebec. And, you know, the thing that's happening in this case is that this is so widespread, and I think the workers have done such an extraordinary job of raising these issues and making sure that people understand it, that the company has actually had to back down. They've had to be careful about what they're doing. It is true that because workers are striking over local grievances, they have some protection under U.S. labor law. And so, you know, at the store level, there's certainly been retaliation and harassment and individuals associated with the Our Walmart campaign being fired on, you know, the basis that they were organizing there. And in a couple cases of other workers walking out on strike for a day to support them and try to win their jobs back. But it has been true that Walmart has, unlike anything that I can remember, has had to be much more careful about this. It's had to send out memos, you know, to managers of stores. There's a corporate memo that got leaked to the Nation magazine, which says, you know, be sure to follow U.S. labor law, you know. You know, something that managers have to be told to do, you know, when you're in the Walmart operation. So that's something that I think is exciting, is that because of the widespread character of this, because of the widespread sympathy for what Walmart workers are doing, I think that there has been, I think that Walmart has had to wait and see. I think they've taken that kind of approach. They haven't been able to do what they did in Quebec or in Florida or some of the other places.
What about customers, the consumer, the average consumer who visits Walmart? Is the labor movement, do you think it's having any effect on them?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, that was one of the things that we found at Socialist Worker. We had, you know, a report after Black Friday, which was, you know, 4,000 words or something. There was just so much to report of, you know, from the demonstrations of the pickets and so forth. And one thing that you saw over and over again was that workers would march into the parking lots. They would be confronted by management, who was, you know, was told to make sure that people don't go into the stores and try to disrupt the stores. But at every single place, it seemed like you would find, you know, the customers who were coming out of the store or going into the parking lot would want to know what was going on, would be, you know, would join the picket lines in many cases. You know, remember, this is who shops at Walmart. The people who shop at Walmart are as likely to be in the same situation of facing low wages, just enough to scrape by on, of having had their benefits whittled away. Pensions, union pensions, are a, you know, you know, they're a dinosaur in this country. They've gone the way of the pterodactyl. You know, so all the kind of issues that are being raised by the Walmart workers are the ones that lots and lots of their customers are facing as well. And so there's been a huge support from customers and the labor movements in the different cities. You know, in my city, in Chicago, we had hundreds and hundreds of people show up in the morning on Black Friday in order to go around to the different stores and participate in the rallies and the pickets. So, you know, you can see the way in which this has really captured people's attention and their imagination.
How do you see this playing out in the next few weeks or few months, Alan?
You know, the first thing that's happening is that coming up next weekend, I believe December 14th and December 15th, a number of unions around the world are going to show their support for the struggle that's taken place in the United States, in South Africa, in Latin America, Brazil, I believe, Chile, Argentina, different places where that are part of the Walmart chain, where unions have been able to represent workers. They're going to take action on those days, and so that's something that we're going to be seeing, you know, solidarity coming into the United States and hopefully bolstering that case. And then I think one of the things that was interesting was that you saw the very first walkouts took place in early October, and then you had Black Friday at the end of November. But in all the period of weeks in between that time, there were, you know, little known but small eruptions of a walkout here or a protest there at individual stores, because again, this is so much driven by from the grassroots, that people are taking action where they can and when they can. And so, you know, I think we can expect to see that continue, along with further national mobilizations coming up in the months to come. This is the first step in a long road, as you know, anyone, you know, we'll be able to imagine, but it's such an exciting first step.
Well, Alan, thanks so much for talking with us today about these enormously important strikes, not just for the United States, but for Canada and around the world as well.
Thanks for having me.
I've been speaking with Alan Maas. Alan is the editor of socialistworker.org.